Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cruttenden and I'm here with co-host Jeff Pitino.
How are you doing?
And we look forward to talking to you today about our topic, which is basically the cycles that affect consciousness and history over very long periods of time. We know that ancient civilizations all over the world spoke of a vast cycle of time with alternating dark and golden ages. And the cultures from India, the Vedic culture, to the cultures in Mexico and Mesoamerica, Mesopotamia, the Egyptians, the Greeks, all had different names for this. But the general idea is that history is not linear, as we have been taught. And so Jeff and I have spent the last few years at the Binary Research Institute studying possible causative effects behind this. And in that process, we're trying to interview just about everybody we can that writes or talks on the subject. And we have a very interesting guest today.
Yeah, we do. Once again, I'm Jeff Pitino, and thanks again for joining us. If at any point during the show you'd like more information on the Binary Research Institute or Walter's book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, please visit us online at binaryresearchinstitute.org. In today's program, we're joined by author and researcher Dr. Carl Johan Kallman, and Dr. Kallman's books include Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar, and The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. I know both of those are available on Amazon.com as well. Dr. Kallman's got some really interesting, he's done a lot of work on the Mayan calendar. A lot of it's very fascinating.
He sure has. So. He holds a PhD in physical biology and has served as an expert on cancer for the World Health Organization. And he began his studies on the Mayan calendar in 1979 and now lectures throughout the world. And he lives in Sweden, so it'll be a fun conversation with him today.
It really will be. Before we go to break in our little segment here, one thing I'd like to talk about briefly, Walter, I know you and I have chatted about it. It's the Antikythera device has once again been
in the news,
a lot lately.
Yeah, they had the big conference with top scientists around the world, and I can't recall where that was held, but it may have been in Greece. In any event, they basically have determined that it might be a little older than the shipwreck. The shipwreck is dated to about 80-81 BC, and a lot of people are saying that the device appears to be maybe 100 to 200 years older than that, possibly having come from Rhodes, where Hipparchus was located. And they think perhaps maybe it was built by Hipparchus or one of his students, although they have no real way of telling that. He's just considered the top scientists at the time that understood the celestial motions, and it has been found to be essentially a computer, a computation device to determine
solar and lunar eclipses.
Solar and lunar eclipses, as well as the movement of the major planets, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, etc. And so what's interesting is it's been confirmed that these are precision gears that are made out of brass or bronze, and they're out of place in our sequence of history by at least 1,000 years, in that we really don't see geared devices of any sophisticated type developed until the great clockmaking era. And this is 1300-1400 AD in Europe. So the device is really, close to 1,500 years out of place. And it's a very sophisticated device in that it appears that some of the gears ride on top of other gears, sort of a differential type of mechanism. And so it's really getting a buzz and shows once again that what we were taught about history as children is changing at a fairly rapid pace as we continue to make discoveries around the world.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it just goes to show how little we really truly understand. And even getting back into the Mayan culture with John Daring, some of the things we've talked to him about as far as their passive technologies in the building of their irrigation networks to keep soot from settling, things that we really didn't understand that they knew, which took a lot of knowledge of fluid dynamics and even acoustic dynamics, like
right.
We see at the Quetzal Temple.
Or what we learned from John Burke, who's determined that a lot of the Mayan structures are built over geomagnetic anomalies, and therefore they have some electromagnetic properties, particularly electrostatic charges near the tops that enable seeds to, when they're placed there, to be able to then propagate faster.
Exactly. So what we're going to be talking about today with Dr. Kalaman, I think in some ways ties into that, because we're going to be talking about the nature of the Mayan calendar and the way that the calendars really, really influence the cultures that live by them, and specifically what the Mayan calendar meant to the Mayans in terms of their life and beliefs.
Good. And so we'll come right back with Carl Johan Kalaman, and you are listening to The Cosmic Influence. We'll be right back.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cretton with co-host Jeff Pitino.
How are you doing?
And we're here today to talk with Carl Johan Kalaman about the Mayan calendar. Welcome, Carl.
Hello. Well, thank you.
Carl is joining us all the way from Sweden, and we're here in California, so we're about halfway around the world. And
it's a little bit of a time difference. Our day is just starting, and yours is just settling down.
And so we're measuring the days here, and one of the greatest historic measures of the days, of course, was the Mayan. Carl, tell us how you first got interested in the Mayan culture in the first place.
Well, actually, it was a trip that I made to Mexico in 1979. And I guess I just wanted to break from I was then a graduate student in toxicology at the University of Stockholm, and somehow I wanted a break from these laboratory test tubes and everything that went with it, and I saw an ad to go to Mexico and stay in a Mexican family and learn a little bit of Spanish, and so I just on the spur of the movement felt that that might be an interesting and exotic thing to do.
Did you have an interest in esoteric sciences or history before that?
Well, not esoteric science at all, you might say. But certainly I had a lot of interest as a child in world history and all aspects of history. So that was not new to me. But I wasn't into any spiritual aspects at all. I was very much a traditional biology graduate student, and actually the trip to Mexico and to the land of the Maya then made me feel that there was a higher purpose to my life, and that was sort of a conflict to the worldview that I was taught in school you know, according to which life is pretty much a random event without any ultimate meaning or purpose or things like that. So just visiting all of these sites was a very profound experience for me. And also the contact with the Mayan people already then meant something, because we had some special rapport that indicated that somehow the purpose of my life was linked to their particular culture. And so that's where it all started. But it took another 15 years until I started to do independent research, and which was a time when I gave up. I was then a senior researcher at the University of Washington in Seattle. And it came a point where I simply chose to I decided that elucidating the meaning of the Mayan calendar was something of greater importance than the studies that I was making in the laboratory, and I switched careers at that point.
And other people have talked about the Mayan calendar. Was that a starting point for you then to read what had been written on it to date, and you know, really what led you to develop your own particular viewpoint about the calendar?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, already when I was in Mexico the first time, I did get a sense that there was a deep truth about the calendar, and that they were basically right in their way of approaching time compared to our own. But when I read José Argüelles' book, The Mayan Factor, in 1986, it really had a profound effect on me, because that sort of showed that somebody could want to integrate their understanding of time with a spiritual approach to life. And so that meant a lot. And also the harmonic convergence meant a lot to me, yeah.
So what do you mean about their way of approaching time? Help us, those that don't study the Mayan people.
You know, time can be viewed in different ways. Basically, the way most people view it in modern society is something you measure. Something takes, you know, something you quantify, and there's nothing else to it. But there is also the alternative way of looking at time as being dominated by different spiritual archetypes and qualitative aspects of time that create different eras. And that's an entirely different way of approaching the phenomenon of time. And so that's what I went into.
And what... what would be the causative effect of why time would be have a quality where it would you know, say lift consciousness or depress consciousness, or is there a causative effect?
That's a very tricky thing. You will have to study the whole matter of the Mayan calendar pretty deeply to actually be able to put in words what is the causative effect of these qualities. Let me say that it is not based on any material phenomenon. It's not based on any astronomical cycle. It is it's really the ultimate source of all evolution that is the causative effect. And it's hard to give it any other name than the divine plan.
So the Mayans say then that time is... qualitative. I'm curious, how do they say that? Does this come through the myth and folklore of the people you spoke there, or are there particular texts or glyphs that you're reading that say time is qualitative?
Yeah, well, it says the information comes down in two different ways, you might say. One is that it's always been the Mayan view that certain time periods are associated with the rule of certain divinities or certain deities. And these deities, they will change. And as they change, so does life on Earth, and so does the human consciousness and the way we create our world. It's also apparent in some of the ancient books in the fact that some of these time periods are prophetically described. They were ahead of time trying to delineate how these different time periods would turn out. And the only reason you can do that is that you have a sense that there is some kind of a qualitative aspect of the universe that determines that one era of time is not like another. They're all unique, and they create their own phenomena.
So can you give us an example of how certain time periods are related to the rule of certain divinities and what the qualities of those divinities would be?
Well, one example would be, you know, the Mayan chronology is usually referred to as the long count, which goes back 5,120 years from now. And so it basically covers the whole time that we refer to as history. And it is made up of 13 distinct energies, each one of which rules what is called a baktun, which is a time period of about 394 years. And one clear example I'd like to put here is the case of the ninth of these time periods, the ninth of these baktuns, which was ruled by the deity that was called Kukulkan, or more well known is the Aztec name of Quetzalcoatl, which is the god of light. And this is the time period in history when the Christian religion emerges and when it expands and becomes the dominant religion in the Mediterranean region. And so in this way of looking at things, it is this energy of Quetzalcoatl that brings a religion that professes love and forgiveness into existence. In other words, this qualitative energy, it supports a change in the human consciousness, which allows them to be receptive to a totally new way of looking at divine reality, at looking at God and looking at the purpose of life and looking at how we human beings are to relate to one another.
Do they attribute any reason why this particular god, Quetzalcoatl, would have that kind of effect on the world, or is that left open to interpretation?
No, well, you can understand it, and certainly it's been quite described in detail in my books. It's all about different filters to human consciousness, and you might look upon all of history as a process of removing filters from the divine reality as it is. And you'll have to know a little bit about how these filters are defined and the rhythm with which they are removed. And from that, you can make these kind of predictions. Certainly, you can understand a lot of the past, but you can also make the predictions because these time cycles, they're still in operation and they're still affecting us, and we're still in the process of the removal of filters to reality.
You know, whenever I hear things like this, I like to compare it to our the research we've been doing at the Binary Research Institute, which looks at the very ancient idea that time moves in cycles. And I can see an analogy here in that according to, you know, the Vedic or the Greek interpretations, you have these high times, these golden ages, and then these dark times. And the best Vedic interpretations I've heard of that is that It is a type of delusion, not a filter per se, but in the darker ages, there's sort of veils that come over man's consciousness. And then as we move towards the higher times, those veils are lifted.
Yeah.
And so that in the, they just break it into basically the four yugas, ascending and descending. In the lowest age, man is just conscious of himself as a physical being living in a material world. And the next stage up, he becomes aware of himself as energy living in an energy world. And then sort of a mental being living in a world of ideas to finally a spiritual being, the ultimate reality. And so it does, it sounds a little bit like that metaphor that comes to us from the Far East.
Well, yes, it does. Except that I want to make the distinction here. I don't personally view the Mayan calendar time periods as being, or time, the year, as being cyclical. I always talk about it as being evolutionary. And the distinction I want to make here is that cyclical sort of implies that you would come back to an identical situation at a certain rhythm. And I don't think that's what the Mayan calendar describes. It describes, in a certain sense, it is a return, a certain sense, but at the same time, there is always a linear progression going on. So it is never coming back to exactly the same thing. It's coming back to the same thing, but at a higher level. And this creates a sort of a spiralic view of time, which is evolutionary rather than either cyclical or linear.
Well, speaking of never coming back to the same thing, we're going to have to take a little break here, but we will be back. You are listening to Cosmic Influence, and we are speaking with Dr. Carl Johan Kalman, the author of The Mayan Calendar. We'll be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time, at a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
welcome back to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Cruttenden, and today we are speaking with Dr. Carl Johan Kallman, author of The Mayan Calendar, and we're talking to him about, of all things, the Mayan calendar. Carl, welcome back.
Thank you.
So I'd like to talk to you. In some of your writings, you've suggested that there's a global nature to the Mayan calendar. And so I wanted to ask you if you could discuss what the connection is with other ancient cultures in terms of the 360 days of the calendar.
Well, certain aspects of the Mayan calendar, has been shared by other cultures in the world. Certainly the ancient Egyptians had a calendar, a year that was 360 days, and then they added 5 days of sorrow to that. And the ancient Chinese people had a kind of a dual calendar system, where they would, on the one hand, follow the 365-day year when they had the civil calendar, as they called it, the agricultural calendar, but then in parallel with that, they had a 360-day year, which was used for their religious purposes. And many would say that the length of the prophetic year in the Bible is 360 days. And so there is definitely something around this with the 360-day time period, which is the Mayan would call the Tun. I think it's important to realize that if you go to their ancient scriptures, the so-called books of Chilambalam, the books of the Jaguar Prophet, they never have any prophecies that are attached to the physical year, to the astronomical year of 365 days. Instead, their prophecies are always based on the Tun or the Katun or the Baktun. In other words, for the 360-day time period and various multiples of that time period. And so this is not a mistake they just happened to make, because they, even though they had their prophetic calendar was based on this 360-day year, they certainly were very good astronomers, and they had estimated the length of the physical year with an accuracy of 3 decimals. And so they actually choose deliberately to use these time periods, the Tun and its various multiples, for anything that was prophetic and described the changing energies of time, as we might call it today. But I would say that you will find this 360-day year in many places in the ancient world, but it never took the kind of systematic and highly developed systematic form that the Maya had. They were the only ones that really divided the long time periods in a structured way that we today can follow and understand how these energies of time have influenced the development of the human mind.
And in a sense, then the because they were deliberately using the other cycles like the Tun and the Baktun, the calendar to them was much more of a spiritual calendar over than just merely a timekeeping calendar, as you've referred to as a materialist calendar.
Yeah.
And I know you've touched on this a little bit. Materialist calendars obviously dominate society today. What's the importance of having a spiritual calendar as well?
Well, it's simply that you start to see the purpose of evolution. You can't really see that if you're following calendars that are based on astronomical cycles. But if you do follow these cycles that define the rhythm of the evolution of consciousness, you start to see the patterns. And then if you do that, you will also see that you yourself is part of this pattern, and that you're actually part of a cosmic plan. which is going somewhere, and that creates a completely different framework for what we're all here to do. And so that's the reason I think it's important. It sort of lifts our ambitions in life to being something higher than it would otherwise be.
Yes, my sense is that hidden in the Mayan teachings that have come down over the years, there's some vestiges of the idea that we're something greater than just physical beings, that there's a recognition that there's subtle forces that affect us as consciousness.
Yeah.
And that they're, although these things get garbled over the years, that there's still a bit of that in the Mayan calendar. I'm wondering, on that note, how much the teachings do you think come through clearly versus how much are still just not understood or may have been misinterpreted over the years?
You mean of the ancient Mayan teachings?
Yes.
Well, I think that's very, very difficult to tell. Nobody today is, they're not here to be asked, and nobody can tell exactly what they thought about their calendar. What I think is more of our task is to recreate, based on our current knowledge and all the facts and so forth that we have currently of the universe, to recreate what may be the meaning. My guess is that at least intellectually, theoretically, we have a much, much better understanding of the Mayan calendar than the ancient Maya themselves ever had. I'm not that we can always go and find it cut in stone in ancient times the meaning of these things.
Well, that's quite a statement to make, that we might have a better understanding of it than they do. I find that hard to believe, but that's something we'd like to dig into. Plus, exactly what were the Mayan telling us about current times and times to come, particularly 2012, 2011, and we'll talk about that dating too. But first, we have to take a quick little break. You're listening to Cosmic Influence, and we'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the Internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
ByRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of ByRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi, and welcome back to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Bettino with our host, Walter Cruttenden, and we're speaking today with Dr. Carl Johan Kallman.
And Carl, right before the break, you had said something that startled me a little bit, which was that you think we understand more about the Mayan calendar or its meaning today than the Mayan did back when they were putting all this down. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Well, you know, basically what we know from ancient times is like a ruler, that they have passed on a ruler with certain fixed points in energy. That's about as much as we can gather from them. And I would say that we will have to, or anybody actually approaching the issue of the cosmic plan, will have to understand what is behind these fixed points. How was this ruler constructed? And one way of looking at it is that this is like an invention of a particular ethnical group. Now, that's the same thing as saying that this is not a calendar of universal importance. And I would say, and I think also many contemporary Mayans would agree, that it is actually a calendar of universal importance. In other words, it's a calendar whose energies describe everything that happens in the cosmos. And from that follows that, in principle, anybody who is affected by these energies, who is sensitive to these energies, anybody who takes on the task of fitting these the events of human history and biological evolution to these shift points on the rulers will be able to bring something significant to the party. And I would say that today, you know, when we have this huge amassed knowledge about cosmic history, going back to the Big Bang 16 billion years ago, and knowledge that certainly the ancient Maya did not have, we are in a much better position to understand the meaning of how these different energies actually manifested in reality. And you know, one way of, if you want to approach this and see, you may actually look at these ancient prophecies that they passed down in the form of the books of the Chilam Balam, and you will find that if you apply these prophecies, you know, they usually are much darker than reality turned out. If you go through these different cartoons or the books of Chilam Balam, you will see that they always prophesied bad times and catastrophes and so forth, and there were very few periods of bringing anything new creative in the world. And I don't think that is the correct description of history. And I think that we, at our point of knowledge, and given that everybody, not only native Mayans or ancient Mayans, are affected by this whole process of divine creation, I think, you know, we are today in a better position to understand the big scheme of cosmic evolution.
Well, that's one interpretation, and that's, you know, one reason we want to talk to you and try to understand it better. Of course, just for our listeners, another interpretation is that there were actually higher ages on Earth sometime, as so many different cultures tell us through their myth and folklore, and we had a more exacting knowledge of the reality of the universe, and that it was lost over periods of time, if indeed history moves cyclically as we believe due to certain cosmic influences. You know, just as we have day and night is moved by the Earth spinning on its axis relative to the sun, or we have the seasons caused by the Earth moving in relation to the sun, so too would we have a longer cycle if indeed there is a larger cosmic movement of which we're, you know, just reawakening to at this moment. And but it's interesting to hear hear different viewpoints of that. The viewpoint I'm really interested in hearing, of course, is this different dating. I know that John Major Jenkins and some others have focused on the winter solstice 2012 dating, and I think that you've come up with just a slightly earlier date, which in the big scheme of things doesn't matter a whole lot to me, but I'm just curious how you came up, what that date is, and how you came up with it.
Yeah, okay. I think it's important to realize that I'm not that alone in doing this. In February of this year, I made an interview with Don Alejandro Oshla, who is the head of the Council of Elders of the Maya, and he also clearly rejects the December 21, 2012 date. And I have this on video that I will make available. And he basically says that that's an archaeologist's date. And you have to realize that the archaeologists are coming from a completely different perspective when they are looking at this. They basically look upon all of the Mayan calendar as a superstition. They don't believe that there are different energies associated with these different baktuns, katuns, and tuns, and so forth. And whereas my work has very clearly demonstrated the empirical evidence that each baktun, katun, and even alautuns and hablatuns are associated with the manifestation of specific phenomena in cosmic evolution that we may understand based on certain patterns. So the question to me then is not, you know, what are the archaeologists saying about this, but the question is when, based on all these the patterns of evolution of consciousness that we can understand, when is there going to be a completion of the cosmic plan?
And that's a great question indeed.
That's a completely different kind of a question. And
okay, well, hold that thought for just a moment, Carl. We'll take a quick break, and we will be right back. You're listening to Cosmic Influence.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration, and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino, and we're talking with Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman, the author of The Mayan Calendar. And we should probably let people know your website address here. Carl, do you have one?
Well, I actually two addresses I like to give. One is kalaman.com. That is kalaman.com. And the other one is that I'd like to recommend is the Mayan Calendar Portal, which is www.maya-portal.net. And this is a newly released portal that unifies a number of websites around the world that deals with the Mayan calendar. And it's also a website where you can immediately calculate your own day sign, and you can find out what is the day sign of the day. And I think this portal will be a point of attraction for a discussion of the issues that we are facing based on our current knowledge of the Mayan calendar.
Well, we'll have to check that out. And speaking of unification, we were just on the topic of how there's just a slightly different date here on sort of the end of the 13 Bakhtun
cycle.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you said that part of that was due perhaps to there's an archaeological interpretation and sort of a spiritual or evolutionary interpretation. Can you tell us what you mean by that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, let me say that it may sound slight, and some people would say that, why should we discuss what is the correct end date in the future? But it is more important than that, because this end date that we decide will also directly influence how we look upon ourselves in the present moment. In other words, are we currently in a peak of an incoming energy, or are we in a resting period, in the wave movement of the energies that is currently determining the evolution of consciousness? Are we in a day, or are we in a night? This is very, very, very important. And if the end date is based on archaeological ideas, which do not take into account at all the evolution of consciousness, then we will misunderstand, misinterpret whether we have the wind on our back for the higher purpose, or if it's a period of rest or even reaction. that is ruling the current time. So it's not an academic hair-splitting issue. It is very important, but it's important for the very reason that it influences our assessment of the current time.
Yeah.
And for those that want to go deeper into that, you know, they may go to the Maya calendar portal and they may click at the very center there and they will find a layout of the galactic underworld, which is the wave movement of energies that are currently bringing most dramatically influencing the change in the world.
Okay, well, you tell us, what is your best assessment of where we are and what's going to happen?
Right. The whole thing of the galactic underworld that started January 5th, 1999, is that it's bringing an end to Western dominance in the world. And in parallel with that goes the end of the, you might say, the dominance of left-brain thinking in the world. And this is brought about through a wave movement, time periods that are 360 years, days long, are alternating with each other. Some of them are sort of bringing new energy in. Some of them are bringing the energy of the East, bringing the energy of the right, the brain half, into existence, and some of them are reactions to the changes. And right now, we are, as of November 24th of this year, we are in the in a day period, in a peak period. There's strong incoming energy since that day. And this is an energy that, as I predicted a long time ago, this is a breakthrough energy. It's the Quetzalcoatl energy that is very strongly shifting the balance on a geopolitical scale in the world. And I think this is very, very easy to see, exactly as I had predicted. You know, one more specific prediction that I made in an article on my website about a year ago, I said that on around the time of the beginning of the fifth day, we would see the beginning of a downfall of the American dollar. And if you actually go to the charts, looking at how the American dollar has developed, you see that November 24th of this year, that's when it starts to turn down. It's quite amazing. But you can also see the whole shift in the debate in the United States after the recent elections, that, you know, it's almost like there is no longer a question of whether the America will stay in Iraq. And it's all very, very strongly part of this level of development that we are currently on. As I said, this is one that brings the end to Western dominance in the world.
Right. Well, I think
creating a new balance, and so it's very important to know whether we are in a sort of incoming energy or if we are in a resting energy in this wave movement of evolution.
Right. A lot of this sounds interpretive, Carl, in that, you know, you take the dollar, for example. That's something that I've studied fairly closely. It goes up and down over the years.
Yeah.
It's been in a downtrend for several years. And, yes, there was a pretty sharp little down dip over the last month or so, month and a half. Boy, it's just, if you look at a long-term chart, it's just one of many squiggles that goes on there. I guess some of this is interpretive, and I'd like to understand perhaps why you interpret it that way, but also, you know, really drill into what the positive message might be coming here after 2011 or 2012. And okay, we'll try to bring you back for 1 minute right after this break just to give us your quick thoughts on that.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
And And welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Crutenden, and we're finishing up with our guest, Dr. Carl Kalaman. And Carl, so as we end the show and move forward, do you have a positive message for the world that we might see coming as we approach the end date?
Well, yes. I mean, you might say that there are different eras, different underworlds in the Mayan calendar, and for about 5,000 years, the human mind has been dominated by a type of a consciousness that has been dualist in character. In other words, it's been a consciousness that has fostered hierarchies, that has fostered dominance, that has fostered separation, very strongly so, separation. It fostered the idea that we're all separate, and we're not part of a bigger whole, and we're not part of the divine. Now, what the current level, as I referred to earlier, the galactic underworld, is bringing into existence, is a type of consciousness that is actually complementary to the earlier 5,000 years of dominance. And so what is created by this level of consciousness that we're currently in is a human being that is whole, one where no aspect of her being is being suppressed or dominated, and we are this is creating a completely new way of our perceiving the world and creating the world.
Okay, so we're at the verge of a completely new way of perceiving and creating the world. And it's going to be a more positive way. And unfortunately, we have to take a break until our next show right now. So if those that want more information, we'll have a link on our website, thebinaryresearchinstitute.org, or you can go to
Kalaman.com.
Kalaman.com. You've been listening to Cosmic Influence. And thank you, Carl, for being with us. It's been a great show, and we look
forward
to talking to you again in the future.